Hey, Street Fighters, welcome to the show. Glad you're here, of course, as always. Wonderful to see you're here back again, or if it's your first time. We've been doing this thing for quite a while now. We're heading into 2018 with bigger and better prospects on the horizon. We're hoping to spread this mess across the U.S. and continue to stay blessed so that we can convince all the rest that it's time to create some real unrest with the way that things are going. So if you're ready to kick back and relax and party, we are the radio show for you. We are the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. It's been that way for 6 years now. Coming to you out of Columbus, Ohio, you can hear us on the WCRS radio station, 92.7, 24/7. We do our live shows every Sunday. Call-in show, 614-412-5252. We aren't going to be doing it this Sunday because we will be in Denver, Colorado. So I think this is probably going to come out after that or on the day of. So that's over. But if you're in Asheville, North Carolina, or about February 25th, we're heading over to the auditorium. Tickets will be going live in the next week or so, maybe by the time this comes out. But you can find those at store.streetfightradio.com, along with some of the leftover Fighty Bo and Sad Brian shirts and our full range of CBD products, including 99% pure isolates, vape juices, and body butters. One of the nice things about being a radio professional is that you become an expert in chemicals and supplements, and we finally made it big enough to have our own supplement to sell to all of y'all, and that is CBD. So please head to the store, especially some of you people that get too high and get too crazy on weed. Check out that CBD.
I'm like roughly 90% CBD, 10% THC now.
Really?
I'm huffing those things down like crazy. We got our own jar, and I'm just burning through these. This stupid cat is behind me doing whatever cats do, and now you know why I don't like pets. I like it. I love how it makes my whole body just feel like my head's not attached to it anymore.
That is nice. Yeah, it empties the brain out fairly quickly. We are also going to be in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend. That's happening in the April 8th region. That's the day of WrestleMania. I think we're trying to get a show before WrestleMania and then maybe watch afterwards, but that's still TBA. Stay tuned for that. You didn't get a call-in show this week, but you did get the behind-the-scenes Brian meltdown at our last show, confessional, which was a good piece of bonus content.
Listen, we are not fighters anymore. We're lovers. But you got to see a little bit of the Brett and Brian fighters show up again. Pop in. The two fighters popped in. Pop back out. I'm in love again. I'm a lovey boy again. Brett's over here drinking a Riesling and smoking a bong. We're not mad anymore very much, but when somebody pisses me off, I get mad, and I have a radio show now, so I'm allowed to go on it and yell about it.
If that's true, you want your respect.
I want all the respect. God damn it, the most disrespected show in the world, Street Fight Radio. We're constantly disrespected, constantly overlooked. That makes all of our success all the more satisfying to me.
It's like sweet honey.
So, had an interesting thought this week. I think, you know, if anybody who listens to the show that's on Twitter knows that it has become in vogue. I actually heard this on Struggle Session, and it got me thinking. A good show. You should check out Struggle Session. I just did an appearance on one of their live shows on Twitch, and it was really fun. But I was listening to their show, and they started talking about how the gulag has become like a good punchline to a joke in 2018, 2017. And that's really fun. That's good. That used to not be something that you were supposed to say. And it's like, oh, now we just joke around and say we're sending people to the gulag, right?
Okay.
That's become like a thing. You see it a lot, you know? And Brett and I are vehemently anti-prison, which I believe makes us also vehemently anti-gulag. I am against gulags, okay? I don't want a gulag. But I was thinking, like, so what do you do? Like, people are always like, what do you do if you don't have a gulag? What do you do without a jail? It's not fair to say we're not going to need to get rid of some people, is it? It's not fair to say that. You know that's not a realistic goal, right? Obviously, in the end, you want no prisons, no crime, everybody's taken care of.
Right, but you don't want to have Ted, you want to keep Ted Bundy under wraps.
Yes, and you can't picture a world where that doesn't happen, where this crime doesn't happen. People are going to steal from each other no matter how good things are.
Yeah.
Because I know that no matter how much better things get for me, I still steal. It's like I've never gotten to the point where I didn't think that, like, I'll just throw a couple extra things in the bag. Man, my daughter watched me, oh my God, the other day in that self-checkout. It said, please remove the last item from the scanner or wait. I threw three things in the bag real quick. And just stood there like, I don't know what it is. And then they clear it and you're moving on.
On to the next one.
Yeah. So, So I got to thinking about it, and I started to think, and I was like, you know what? I'm for banishment. Pro banishment.
Excommunication?
Yes. I'm calling it, you're banished. And somebody pointed out that it's because, you know, the judge, which would theoretically be me in this utopia that we have where I make all the decisions, obviously, where the post office and all that stuff is taken care of. It won't be like you're guilty and you're sentenced to banishment. I will tap the gavel and I'll be like, you get out of here. You're out. You get. And then everybody will chase them out of town with a weapon and they're never allowed to come back in. And that's how we solve it. So I figured I solved the problem. Street fight. I figured a thing. Sometimes Brett and I don't agree on everything, but I think we can both agree on banishment.
So you think it's the job of the community to chase out the people?
Yeah.
I actually...
If we're taking more responsibility for things, right? We talk about how, oh, we got to take responsibility for, like...
Potholes and
snow and cleaning shoveling up the trash. And I don't think we need to clear... I'm going to tell you the truth. This is just coming off the top of my head on this show. This is not something I've given any thought to. We don't need snow removal because you don't really have to go to work. I mean, it doesn't... Like, the snow will melt. You know what I mean? I'm just not worried about the snow anymore because it's going to be less like, it's going to be less hustle bustle. It's going to be less like you need to risk your life to get into work. Like when it's under, my daughter's telling me the other day that her teacher told her that the temperature is minus 15. That's the only time they get out of school. And that got me thinking, like, what is a reasonable temperature? Because that's definitely not a reasonable temperature to me. Like minus 14 is not reasonable to go to school. Now, people on Twitter kind of told me that, like, a lot of districts don't have a number. And kids say dumb things. Like, they kids make shit up. You know what I mean? You used to do it when you were a kid. And you misunderstand stuff and you make things up. But I started thinking, like, what if it is, like, minus 15, like, wind chill gets them out of school? What would I make it? And I'm thinking 20 degrees. Like, you're out of work if it's under 20 degrees. Just, we don't need to be out when it's 20 and under. I don't feel that needs to be, I don't think we need it. You know,
you think just chill, they just stay at the house until it gets above 20,
dude.
But the roads aren't paid. The roads aren't. I mean, you're going to be driving on a sheet of ice.
That's going to be hard to do. But
the cars will belong to everybody, so we won't be so tied up into like how they look cosmetically.
I'm not tied up into how they look cosmetically.
Car to go, but everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, we've talked about this. You know, we have all kinds of plans for cars now. But like, I just. Man, I feel like that hustle and bustle thing. Like my daughter got called out of school on Monday, right? Because she's in a walking district.
Oh, dude, I drove all the way to school and was like, why are the fucking doors locked right now?
Don't do that, man. You always gotta check.
I'm a rookie. I'm a rook. I was so green on this. This is my first one. I did not even think to check.
I did it a bunch of times, too, because you haven't checked in a number of years. You know, when you were a kid, you always knew right away when school was canceled.
Well, I was the treat because school was out was she wanted hotcakes from McDonald's and the guy at the cash register was like, he looked at me, then he looked in the back seat and saw her, and he was like, ho, you didn't watch the news, did you? I was like, no. He's like, I told you. He said, I was at the bus stop. I saw all those kids standing at the bus stop. I said, you didn't watch the news, did you? And they said, no. My mom said we had to go to school, and like, you better go tell your mom to go watch the news.
They don't call you?
Call, no.
I thought I get a phone call and an email.
I should get there's like some weird app that we have that notifies us. It's like the PTO.
Get it?
But the PTO should say something, I guess. If
much do they have to say?
I mean, they're not saying anything.
You have the app, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the app didn't say anything?
No.
Okay. Did you check your email?
Yeah.
Did you check your phone messages?
Yes.
I get phone messages. It's like, yo, this is the superintendent. They're not coming to school today.
No, you have the like Cadillac school system.
Okay. I think all the schools do it now, dude.
Columbus Public is on Twitter, because if you go to the Columbus Public Schools app and go to like breaking news, it's just their Twitter feed.
Yeah. Then get it on Twitter. I did that when I was in college. I was on the Twitter all the time. We had a polar vortex. And I had to know when we were going to school. I was refreshing Twitter all night because I wanted them to cancel it the night before. That is always the dream.
So you can sleep in later.
Yeah, but they don't ever do that.
They always wait. Okay, it's 5 a.m. Everybody's asleep. Let's go ahead and make sure they wake up in a frenzy because we don't want them to get out of the habit of going to school.
We know what the weather's going to be tomorrow, but you know what? We'll wait till tomorrow and let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the superintendent called me at like
5:30 in the morning. Oh, my God. Those are the best when they announce a snow day at like 5 p.m. the day before. Let's watch movies all fucking night.
Yeah, that was good. They don't do that as much. In my daughter's school, they don't really do it. I mean, I was with her.
AccuWeather now.
That's been something that's bothered me a lot, too, since she's gone back to school. I was there 1 year when they had too many snow days, and they were talking about adding Saturdays.
Right.
At the end of the year, and I was like, my fucking kid ain't going to school on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a day off.
That's not happening. We don't work that way in the Quinby house.
I always like it when they biff on a day, too, when it's just like the meteorologists are going nuts. It's an ice mountain. Massacre coming to Columbus overnight. What are we going to do about school? Everybody calls off. The next day, it's like 45. The snow is melting. There ain't shit on the ground. Everybody's like, I took a fucking day off work for this.
I call that a salt day is what I call that. That's the day where the salt companies collaborate with the meteorologist to get rid of the salt
right
before it's time for spring.
Sure.
So usually somewhere near the end of the year, the meteorologists are like, you need to go out and get some salt. There's going to be 27 inches of snow, and then the next day nothing happens. That's a salt day. That's how we subsidize the salt companies.
Salt company's phone is ringing off the hook. All these stores are like, we got pallets full of this fucking shit. We want to return. You're going to give us 3/4 of what we paid. We can't eat. We can't pay this. We got to call in the meteorologist.
Fellas,
sell us some salt. Ladies.
I mean, if there's one conspiracy that I say on this show that I expect you to believe, it's definitely that one.
The meteorologists are tied up in big salt. It's like government. It's like the judges that get paid off to send kids to like those privatized kitty camps.
yeah.
It's the same kind of collusion.
Those boot camp guys that you're exactly right. Or the rehab, the drug courts that send people to bad rehabs. It's like just that revolving door so rehabs can make money. That the salt companies, Morton's. I mean, think about how big of a company Morton's is, dude. Like,
do they make road salt too?
I think so.
With like a little girl running on the bag?
I'm assuming, yeah. The big yellow bags. Oh, I'm sure
they
got,
you're right. They have their hand in it. You're right.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, if you're making salt,
that's the number one name in salt.
So you're thinking about a company like Morton's that's probably powerful as hell. I mean, they probably got a powerful lobbyist, and then backroom deals. I mean, these weathermen.
Lots of shooters.
Yeah, these weathermen are shady as hell, too. I just know they are. They get on the phone, and they're like, what do you want us to say the weather's going to be tomorrow? And I've seen them get it so wrong so many times in, like, February and March that I've convinced, like, over the... This is just a street fight thing. Since we started doing street fight, probably since I started hanging around you is when I developed this conspiracy theory.
Oh, now you're pinning this on me.
I mean, it makes sense.
He was spotting me.
Yeah. Well,
he double-checked my work.
You never say that's a ridiculous theory. You're like, I've been thinking. I think you're right about this.
I can see it. I would be stupid to say you couldn't see that being something that's going down.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere.
Salt days, not snow days. Snow days happen in December, November, December, and January, February. Salt days happen in March and April. Those are salt days.
I got to say, though, as a parent, my first snow day, I was complaining about it. I think they jumped the gun on it. They've been on goddamn break for 2 weeks. This is the first day back. This weather wasn't any worse than what we was going through during winter break. They could have sent them to school.
My daughter is in a walking district. A lot of kids have to walk. I mean, not a lot of them do.
But kids need to learn how to walk on ice.
The sidewalk was really icy.
Walk in the yards where it's crunchier.
Dude, they're just like, I don't want one of these kids to get hurt. And then their parents are like, why are you sending them to school? It's one of those things. I mean, schools have to act like cowards these days.
That's true.
Because parents like me who were like, my kid ain't going to school today. You know what I mean? You can't get away with stuff. And I it was raining. Like, it was still raining that morning too. Like, you wouldn't have known what was gonna happen. I mean, I've been through some weird shit.
I know. I mean, it was fucked up. Overnight it was crazy and there was some bad spot. I definitely did some sliding around, but
I've been through some weird shit since my kid's been in school. A lot of the snow day sorts of things, or the things where they're on high alert. And they won't let them leave unless a parent comes up and picks them up and, like, walks in and signs them out because somebody robbed a bank, like, three blocks away. And it's like, man, this kind of stuff, like, they never kept you after when I was in school. They would have never told us to come, like, we're going to have to do Saturdays for the month of June. That would have never happened when I was a kid. And that coming back around to that, that's my philosophy. It's like, you miss the fucking days. Who cares? You're not doing important shit every single day when you're at school. You can miss the day. I kept saying that to my wife as I'm driving her into work that day. I was like, you know, the kid's out of school. You should be out of work. What the hell are you going to work for if it's so dangerous to be out here?
No, I'm with you. I'm down. You know? No, I'm and you know, that we have to really nationalize these snow days because it's fucking wild. This is something that keeps me up at night is that, I mean, I have the easy breezy cover girl schedule. I can do whatever the fuck what I want whenever. I stay up drinking all night on Sunday night, take her to school, and then sleep for the 6 hours that she's at school and show up. I'm super dad, stay at home dad. I'm Mr. Mom. I'm the great guy. And, but like, these people that I'm there with, like, they got lanyards on and shit. Like, they got somewhere to be 40 hours a week. Like, this is not a bargain. Like, they don't give a fuck about your kids' snow days, you know?
They don't give two shits about a level 3 snow emergency. No. They don't care. They'll be like, yo, it's a level 3. Well, you're an essential employee, Mr. Papa John's. You gotta come in. I mean, like, I've never had a job where I wasn't an essential employee. And believe me, I've had some jobs where I was not an essential employee. Like, you just look at it. And that's what my wife always says, too. It's like, I'm not an essential employee. They tell me that I'm an essential employee. I'm not. I don't need to be there. What I do doesn't need to get done, but they can say that you are so they can make you drive no matter what the damn weather is. They just want you to have to drive in. They want you there. They want the work.
They pay. I mean, they can sit. They want you to do 40 hours of grueling work a week.
Yeah. So, yeah, snow date. Man, you need to learn. You need to learn to be a snow parent now, and you have to just make sure you check the news the night before. Because you don't want to get up and if you can find out the night before. Columbus schools close the night before sometimes. They will close.
I thought there would be no reason for them to shut down. I drove there myself and was not concerned in any way.
I mean, parents should. I mean, like, basically, if you have a child and there's a snow day, you should just get the day off. There's no reason to make people, like, we have scramble to give something at 6 in the morning.
We have to give a benefit to people that didn't have kids, though.
Well, they can have the day off, too. That's how we'll give them a flex day. We'll give them a flex day off, right? So on a snow day for a school, everybody in the school district. We'll give them
a late start for a concert, the day after a concert.
Flex days. I'm calling them flex days now.
Okay.
They don't do late start very much where I'm from. I've never had like a day where they came in at 10, which I also find stupid.
No, I'm saying for your job. No, I'm saying for single people that like didn't have an environmental harm come out of the female member of their partnership. Single people. Yeah, like they could get 4 hours, could come in at noon after, like, you know, Imagine Dragons comes to town.
That's not acceptable to me. They Why? Get the whole day. Oh, they the just get day. A float day.
The next day. Okay.
Any day. That's just like, oh, look, another float day showed up in your thing. Yes, you made it to work today. Good job. I mean, basically anybody that makes it to work on a snow day should get a float day.
That can't. Oh, I like that. Yeah, because, yes, you can cash it in. You can either take the snow day now, or if you're close to work and you don't mind and you just want to get it in today, you'd rather just work today on the shittiest day and get the Dave Matthews Band concert off. Instead,
that's what I'm mayor. That's a mayor sort of thing. That's what I you like gotta that. Talk to the mayor about. You know,
citizens of Columbus, I declare flex days for anybody that goes to work on a snow day.
Right. Or you just today, that's who should call it too. It shouldn't be up to these different places with different sensibilities, you know. Because, like, some of those rural schools will just get, like, 15 days off, and you're like,
well, their roads are fucking crazy out there, though.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, you're talking about sliding down hills into other people and
I used
shit.
To be so jealous. I went to a half-rural school.
All them stupid-ass rear-wheel drive fucking trucks with no weight in the back.
That's true. That is true.
With all those kids driving them around, too, some fucking, you know, 16-year-old with bullhorns and Confederate flag hanging off of an S-10.
Balls, truck
Some
nuts.
Balls, yeah. Drinking beers.
Right, yeah. I see what you're saying, man. I just, we could be so much less like run and, I call it like, I guess it's run and gun, hustle bustle. It's
no,
like,
the world has to slow
this
down.
Shit can just slow the fuck down. There's no, because I've been thinking a lot about like the market. I think I talked about this on the show recently. It's like, if the market doesn't close, this cat, hey, if you hear this cat, it's because it's an idiot and it's just horny. Is it horny?
Stop it. That's what I don't like too. That's what my wife keeps saying it is. And I don't think it's a funny joke.
Well, I don't know what it is then.
Well, that's, I don't know. That's what it is. That's what cat people it is. That's what, to them, it's hilarious.
It's irritable. It's an irritable cat. Yeah, this cat, you know, Gumball. I told you when you first got Gumball, I was like, we're going to have to deal with this. And you were like, I know. And now we're sitting here and we're complaining about Gumball on Street Fight.
Yeah, sorry.
Bumgall. We're talking about Bumgall.
Old Bumgall.
Goddamn. We get this office, no Gumball. In the background of the show, watch, people are going to be like, oh, I actually liked Gumball.
More Gumball. My favorite co-host of 2018 is Gumball.
Can you bring Gumball on the show more often? Get him out there meowing and shit.
Gumball is a sweetie pie, a perfect cat, a cat lover's cat. So many people
unfortunately it lives with a non-cat lover.
Yeah, it's just not a good mascot for us. We're too strong for that.
We're powerful. We need a lion. If we were going to get a cat, we would need a lion.
I could do pet lion. I would keep a lion down. There's enough room for a lion down here.
Always wanted a lion. Ever since I saw Scarface when he got that damn lion, yeah. I was like, look, he shouldn't have a lion because he's an idiot, which is true.
Dangerous. Like, stupid.
Like those guys, the guys that end up getting a lion are the dumbest people in the world.
I used to watch a ton of those videos of people getting mauled by lions and shit that they own. Like, that was a weird part of my vegetarianism, where I just saw like animal strike back videos.
That's
of just like
though.
Dumb shits and just playing around with a tiger, you know, at some lavish party with millionaires and shit, and then just getting snatched up. And you're like, uh-oh.
How great would it be?
This went sideways.
How great would it be to see a guy get gored by a bull while he's eating a cheeseburger? He's just sitting at McDonald's and a bull comes in the McDonald's and fucking gores him. And you're like, that's what you get, man. That's part of it. I see that as a risk every time I eat meat.
I mean, that's part of it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it might come back on you. I saw a pretty good gift this week. I'm sure it's been passed around, but this guy was running around with bulls in a ring. And he's not paying attention. He gets blasted from the back. The clowns come up and are running. They like scoop him up. They're like, come on, run, run, run. Follow us, follow us. And they're looking behind them to the bull that just hit that guy. And they send him off and they turn around to address that bull. And here comes this other one right around the corner and just smashes the dude from the front.
I want to do the rodeo clown thing. I always wanted to try that though. Always wanted to try the rodeo.
You
want to
go fuck around like that? I mean, you need some moves, bro. You need to be able to, you need to be swift.
I am kind of swift when I want to be. Like, if I, maybe not now. I was back in the day. Let me work out for a year and then I'll be a rodeo clown.
Okay. Instead
2019, by the next presidential election,
okay,
I'm going to try to be a rodeo clown. At least once.
Rodeo clown cast.
Well, I'm just going to do it. I just want to see if I can do it. I was thought
I don't want you to
have
to get surgery or something.
I'm not going to need surgery. I'll get away from the bull. I'll sit in the barrel, dude. It's fine. The bull just knocks the barrel down and pushes you around, you know? I always thought they were the coolest. I know that.
No, listen, it's brave. It's gutsy.
I am not saying that bullfighting or whatever. I mean, rodeos and bullfighting, I'm not pro them, of course. We can't get rid of them, obviously, because there are a lot of people that love them. Like, we're going to have to reckon with that. I don't know how. I mean, really, we could make electric bulls now. We don't need to do it to real bulls. We can make robot bulls.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah. Get Boston Dynamics. Instead of doing that war machine shit, can you just make us like a real deal cyborg rodeo?
Yeah.
Animatronic, fully automated rodeo.
I don't see why that sounds impossible to anybody. It's like, oh, you know, it's a new robot. They could do that for sure. Yeah. Instead of making war machines, let's save these bulls. Even for the running of the bulls, just get like 20 robot bulls and just program them not to ever relent, you know?
Something that cracked me up when Grove City Erica came and hung out, and she was talking to us just about family shit, and she said that one time she was in Mexico visiting family, and she went to this bullfight, and I was like, was it like fucking awesome to be there and kind of see someone go head to head with a bull, like all that machismo and shit? And she was like, no, not at all. She was like, it just felt really sad and stupid.
It is. It's kind of stupid. But we're just two guys that like sad, stupid shit, though. We're really, like, at least me. I
like danger.
I was rude to my wife on the last show where I talked about the kinds of TV shows she watched.
Okay.
And her and I are having a conversation today. And I'm like, listen, you're going to, because she's been listening to the shows. And I'm like, you're going to listen to this show and you're going to hear me talk about the TV shows you watch. And I want to tell you, I'm not making fun of you. All I watch is, listen, you're going to hear a noise for a second, and then Brett's going to run upstairs and turn that heat off. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stop the show. Just cats meowing. The heat's going. It's crazy. So basically it was like, this, I told her how I talked about how she watches all these shows about powerful women who talk about their vagina all the time. I'm like, they're always just joking around about like, you know, sex stuff and their vagina and all this stuff. And I just kind of made fun of it a little. And she was like, you don't think you do that? You don't think everything you watch isn't dripping with testosterone? You can't watch anything that doesn't have guns or somebody fighting in it. That's the only things you ever turn on have guns and fighting. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. I get it, man. We're badly gendered. We're a couple of like, we're just bad at it, you know?
No, you're very strict on your entertainment. It's got to be lots of big ball stuff.
Big, giant, huge testosterone balls is what I can't help it. It's just what I do. But I don't even count that as being a testosterone thing now anymore, because I've found so many women online that are so into that stuff too. We've gendered entertainment in a way that's unnecessary, because women also like ass whooping and stuff.
I bet they're also reaching across the aisle a little bit where they know how to also enjoy some shit that's maybe tender from time to time, which you lack the ability to do.
I just don't know what that is. I'll tell you what, today I was listening to Doughboys Double, and they were talking about the awards movies that came out this year, and they brought up this movie called Phantom Thread, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Phantom Thread, that's a cool name, man. I need to find out what Phantom Thread is. So I Googled it. Okay, give me 2 seconds and I'll tell you. Like, I'll read you the description and you can look at what you can say what you think I thought.
All right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It is frustrating because you do not have an open mind at all to anything that isn't like just in your face like attitude, aggressiveness.
But believe me, I know this. Set in the glamour of 1950s post-war London, renowned dressmaker Reynolds Woodcock and his sister Cyril are the center of British fashion, dressing royalty, movie stars, heiresses, and socialites. And then I just stopped. I was like, I'm never going to see this movie.
Sounds dope.
No, it doesn't.
I don't. Yeah, I can't believe. I don't know.
I just can't believe. I was like.
Like they got really sick velvet collars and shit and like lacy shit.
It's a Daniel Day-Lewis and it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Oh, I did see an ad for. Yeah, that shit looked corny.
To me, it does, but it's the top. It's the top shit out there. I can't yell at people for liking the top shit when the top shit comes out.
Remember the good old days when like tailors used to give a shit about your clothes, man? Now Supreme just puts their fucking logo on everything and charges $500 for it.
I'm not bad mouthing Phantom Thread. I'm saying I'm an idiot. It's being an idiot than me saying the movie sucks. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna go see Black Panther on opening night, Brett. So there's no reason to think of any like care what I'm into.
Yeah, I'm just the
dressmakers, fucking London dressmakers. I was like,
Savile Row.
Let me hands off that one.
What's the name again?
Phantom Thread.
No. The dude's name in it.
Don't make fun of his name. Reynolds Woodcock.
Come on. You had
hey,
to go
come
there?
On, Reynolds. Hey, Reynolds, could you sew me a dress, please?
There's already a Mr. Woodcock. It's Billy Bob Thornton.
That's a good one, though. I would watch that one.
That movie's good. I like Mr. Woodcock. That shit was hilarious.
Put on Mr. Woodcock and tell me it's Phantom Thread, and then I'll enjoy the Phantom Thread.
That would be awesome. That would be if we could. Back in the days, when we had like DVDs, if you could swap them all out, like that shit was kind of hilarious. Like I didn't think that Daniel Day-Lewis could really do a comedic role like that. He looked so grumpy and old too. He was like not even himself.
He should do a funny thing. Why doesn't he ever do anything funny? Why is it always so serious?
I mean,
they should get him to play like the Joker or something sometime.
Yes, like a retired Joker. Like a Joker who has found no reason to joke anymore, but then he gets like re-inspired by some really sadistic shit.
I loved that Oil movie that he was in. Like that one I enjoyed a lot, but then people started quoting it all the time.
I know.
And I stopped enjoying it.
It became like a Boondock Saints.
It's like what's depressing to me is when movies like that is like, what's the one movie that I think, this movie is so funny to me. Like, I cried the first time I saw it. It's Borat. But it's like, oh, how do I enjoy Borat again? You know what I mean? And people took Borat away from me.
Yeah.
I thought that was the funniest movie in the history of the world. And I think my politics might have hurt Borat, too, after a while. I just thought it was hilarious when he said he needed to make a shit when he was at that dinner.
Yeah, I love that. I love Napoleon Dynamite until when I worked at, I had a job where the head office was obsessed with it and they would do all these inside jokes about it, like in like meetings and shit, you know, and it was like, then I was like, I hate this shit now.
Austin Powers, that happened.
Right, it's
too.
An Austin Powers.
First time I saw Austin fucking Powers.
Yeah, I know. That movie is amazing.
I cried.
Until there's like a Halloween that happened. Then like when that, they ruined it. People just like beat the dead horse until you're like done. It's like, stop it.
Yeah, get past this one. Let's get past Anchorman. Was so funny to me. Like, I cried the first time I saw Anchorman. Now when somebody says an Anchorman quote, I'm like, get out of my house. Banished. You're banished.
Right. You're banished. You got to go. You got to get. I don't care where you get to, where you get from, but you're out of here. Get.
Look, the weather's not that great here anyway. Go to Florida or something like that.
Make a new home.
Get out of here.
Think
make
about
a new
you
family.
Know. You know,
watch a new movie.
I did listen to a podcast about this village in Ireland where they actually do practice that. Like, there's it's a no locks on the door type place, but it's just one of the smallest villages in this remote part of Ireland with like a few hundred people that get by. And it's like they're all in each other's shit, but you know.
The Amish
nothing,
do that
nothing
shit.
Fucked up happens.
The Amish do that yeah. shit. They'll banish somebody.
That's what we need for Street Fight, bro. We need to get like a big piece of land. We need
God,
a state.
City
we need a
people.
Fucking. No,
we're
we need
city
a sovereign.
People, Brett.
Well, we need a sovereign piece of land with a city center in it that has a tower that we live in the top of the tower.
We're not allowed. See, that's the thing I always think about. We're never going to be allowed to take city land. You know what I'm saying?
We like, can make our. Well,
they're not going to let us have it. We're never.
Let's go.
Listen, if all the Street Fight fans moved to one place, it would all be living in lean. We'd all be living in lean tos. It would look like that place, that anarchist place out in California yeah, in the middle of the
slab
desert.
Slab City?
Yes, Slab City. It would look like Slab City, and it would just be there would be a fire in the middle of the place, and we'd sit around it and get high, and then there would be one room with a bunch of air conditioning, and that would be my room where I sleep.
There would be like 2 mile long a steel wire, and everybody would just throw a blanket over it.
My family would leave. Like, in order for me to go full on, I'm getting out of here, I'm making my own city. In order for that to happen, my wife needs to leave me, my kid needs to grow up, and I need to be really headed down the drain.
You think so?
I do. I can't
well, yeah.
do it, dude.
Gotta,
I can't.
You know, I would like to put something better than that together. You're right. If we end up in that scenario, that's the bad timeline. I would rather go to something like underground homes in like the middle of some place that's safe from most of the natural disasters.
Like when one of those, like those people that live in the missile silos from the Cold War.
Yes.
You want to yeah. do that kind of thing?
Right.
I'll do it. I mean, I don't know if I want to live underground.
Yeah. Though. I read a Robert Mitchum novel that was pretty terrifying, and they did that type of shit. And yeah. it's like, you got to remember that you're stuck in there with people and, you don't know how they're going to act.
Your wife wants a weird home. Your wife's super into the idea of an unconventional home. I've heard her talk for years since you guys have been married about a Silver Stream, one of those damn
Airstream
trailers. She's just like, oh, we'll live in that. And I'm like, ugh. I don't know, man. I need something a little more substantial than that.
Well, she can work. She's working remote, and I work remote, and so she work on the internet. So she thinks that we can do the camper life when the kid is old enough to go to college. She
right.
also, when I met her, was talked about living on a boat somewhere as
me
well.
Me too. Always. I heard a story one time, Brett, about a cruise ship, a decommissioned cruise ship. That rich people live on, like a timeshare. Every 6 months, they live on this ship and they float around and shit. And then for the other 6 months, they have their regular home. Oh, God. Living on a cruise, not with a bunch of rich people. That could be the Street Fight life, like a luxury cruise liner with all of our friends there. And we just, that's it. You know, I could do that for sure. But I'm just like so... I don't know, man. I'm like so conditioned. I love the city. I love being in the city. And I always think when we think about revolution and stuff that like, or like, you know, unplugging and that sovereign citizen stuff, I always think about how like, that means that I got to live in the country. Like, and it starts bumming me out a little bit. You know, I could live on a commune. Like I could see doing a commune, but I went to that one commune in Columbus that's on campus, and it's a house in an urban area that a bunch of people live in, and there's rules on how things get done, and they all throw in together, and I like that idea, you know, but that's not something that like a whole bunch of people could do. I used to have a dream of like after the mortgage crisis, going to one of those suburb neighborhoods, one of those housing developments that's like 80% vacant. And just taking it up, just be like, we're going to take this now. This is going to be ours. And then operate like, you know, gut one of the houses and make it a place that bands can play at and gut one of the like that would be sweet and build gardens.
Grow
and
house.
Stuff. Yeah. Grow house. And like that would be fucking sweet to live in a little in like a little suburb area that was all yours. That's just dreaming though. That's dreaming.
Because
they would never let us have them. They would rather knock the houses down than let us do a commune. Because again, anytime somebody thinks about communism, anytime somebody thinks about unlocking from the grid or whatever, that becomes a threat all the time to the state. And then all of a sudden the news is like, look at these fucking weirdos over here with all their you know, their hydroelectric power and they're like, they're sharing everything. What a fucking weirdo. This Brett Payne and Brian Quimby seem like cult leaders. And then the fucking ATF comes and kills us. And that's how it all ends. You could never unplug from the grid because that's what they do, you know?
No, I mean, you never, ever in your life own your house because there's taxes that are due on your house. If you don't pay those, they will come and get you.
They should let us have parts. I think that's what happens when the empire falls.
That's why that's why sovereign citizen ain't no joke to me. Like, it ain't tongue in cheek. It's something I truly believe in. I mean, I was inspired, honestly, as a kid by the NoFX lyric that says, "I wasn't brought here, I was born." And then I was like, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I was just born here. I don't want to pledge allegiance to this shit.
I'm not American. I'm not an American. No. I don't want to be that. No. I would name this thing something completely different from even America if I was here. It would be cool, like a cool thing.
You know? We would be working on something way different. So I'm definitely, I don't know. I just always.
We'd like be called the Vipers here or something like that. It would be like a rad name for our country.
Blazers.
Blaze City, you know? That's why I was so furious when I found out that Portland calls itself Rip City, because I was going to try to make that our thing.
Yeah, Rip Town?
I thought Rip Town, because then you could say, I'm going to go out and have a Rip Town Saturday night, and then it's like, whoa, that's fucking cool. Whatever you're doing is cool. Yeah. Sounds like a rock and roll thing you're doing, guy.
Yeah, that would be a great song.
Oh, man, Rip I got Town a story. Saturday night. Got a story this week from Rigel. You sent me.
Yeah.
And was very fond of it.
Best listeners of the show.
Yeah.
Most astute.
Told me that
the best.
People ask him about the Fighty Bo shirt all the time, and he explains it to us, which is really cool.
Oh, did I tell you that I fucked those shirts up?
You fucked the Fighty Bo shirts up?
Yeah, I forgot.
Tell people.
I forgot to put Street Fight Radio on them.
Oh, who cares? We'll never sell the right kind of
that's
shirt
true.
That advertises.
That's why it looked right to me, because I'm like, good, it doesn't have the fucking name on it.
It doesn't say .com on it at all. Good, that works. We've never still... So now we're still on a streak.
We still have never sold an article of clothing that has our name on it. I have one. I made one for myself that I love. I bought a screen print. I was going to try to screen print shirts myself. And when I saw the work I put out, I was like, no way I'm going to do this.
You would make one for yourself. Like, people, we'll make a Street Fight shirt. If the listeners tell us they want a shirt that's just a Street Fight shirt, we can figure that out, right? We can do that.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to still do the SF with the anvil on a white shirt would be cool.
Something like that. Yeah. We'll figure that out. So
something
this
that
story-
gets real brown armpits.
Ugh,
it would be white and there would be brown armpits printed on it.
Yeah, like, we'll get
to
sweaty
stick with
armpits
the aesthetic
printed,
of this
yeah.
show. Tea stained armpits.
Yeah, we found out Sean Swain, who's a guy in prison, has
yes.
sent us some art. He's an anarchist that's in prison for anarchy. I don't exactly know what he's in there for. I don't want to speak on it or whatever, but he's considered by a lot of anarchists like a political prisoner type, right?
Yeah.
And he did some artwork for us from prison.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it on the Instagram.
And I was like, holy shit, we get mail from prison now, and we found out that we get played at homeless camps. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that is enough success for me that money matters a lot. It makes money matter a lot less. I want money. Obviously, we need money to make this thing roll. But, like, man, to know that we're getting to people in prison and to know that we're getting to homeless people makes me feel like that's who I want to talk to. You know what I mean? I love all the listeners that show up to the shows and things like that. And, like... But man, I'm trying to give hope to people, and I want to. And so, I said this on Twitter, and I would love it if you let us know if you listen to us on a job site, because that's the last place left. We want to be listened to on construction sites, just like they used to, like Howard Stern. They used to like blare Howard Stern on construction sites, and everybody listened to it. That would blow me away. Somebody said they listened to us in their headphones while they roof. And then I said, oof, that's a job there, buddy. Like, the first thing, whenever somebody tells me they're a roofer, I'm like, oh, God rest your soul. Can I hug you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that. Other than McDonald's, that's the hardest job I ever had. Like, I consider McDonald's and Chuck E. Cheese the two hardest jobs I ever had, because the psychological toll, along with the physical toll that working at a place like that takes on you, is tough. But when I was a roofer, man, just physically, that's fucking hard work, man. That's the real shit. You can't get much more in the elements than on a roof. So if you're roofing and listening to this show, you got my 100% respect. Probably been injured 47 times. Roofers always get injured, dude. Every guy I work with fell off a roof. Every single guy.
I mean, it makes sense.
A lot of the dudes I worked with, because I did industrial roofing. So I was on taller buildings. I was on like commercial buildings. Which is it means more dangerous chemicals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And all those guys, they quit. They were doing industrial roofing because they had done houses and they had all fallen off. And they were just like, it's just too dangerous. Like the you're on an angle all day. And yeah. It's just, I'd feel safer walking around on this flat roof right here.
Right. Yeah, and if you want to hear more Sean Swain, he actually does regular guest appearances on the Last Straw podcast, which is a much better anarchist podcast when it comes to
theory.
The practicality too. I mean, they cover a lot of the movement and the work being done, and they're like a good source of news.
It's not a comedy show, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but they have a sense of humor.
Well, everybody has a sense of humor, right? Well, no, actually, when you're talking about anarchists, no.
Yeah.
That's actually not true. Well, let's get to the story Rigel sent us from Tampa Bay.
Okay.
This is from Clearwater. The city's violation letter used bold letters and all caps to describe the Path Bicycle and Ride Shop's alleged offense. So the offense said, the ticket said, installed spiral bicycle rack on sidewalk without proper permits and inspections, it declared.
Bike shop got in trouble for putting a bike rack out in front of their shop.
And I want to start this by saying that I actually looked at this thing. Brett showed me this thing, and I know why people are pissed about it. Okay, like, but it's just really selfish people that are mad about it, you know. Let's go ahead and see what the path owner, Gary Keener, was dumbfounded when his landlord forwarded him the notice last week because he didn't install the brand new bicycle rack on the sidewalk. The city did. I just thought it was pretty pathetic, said Keener, who has owned the Cleveland Street Shop for 6 years. We're kind of an anchor retail business that actually brings people to the downtown area. We go way back with how dumb code enforcement is. On December 4th, the city blocked off a parking space on the 600 block of Cleveland Street, painted the asphalt blue, placed a red bag over the meter, and installed two spiral bike racks in the space. It was the exact setup the city installed in front of Tony's Pizza on the 400 block of Cleveland Street last year. So what this is...
He didn't even put the bike rack there. The city built the bike rack and then gave him a citation.
Yeah, and the bike rack, the bike rack is, and at least in Columbus, there's a main drag, and it has parking spots set up. They paint lines facing out. They do that in most cities. They paint lines facing out, and that's where you park, or where the meters are. And they took one of those big spaces where they would paint the lines, and they filled it in with concrete and like painted it blue and put this bike rack in. And I'm sure somebody got pissed and reported it. I mean, because it's the type of thing where like people seem to think in driving cities that there should be a spot for your car all the time, and that above all else, there needs to be spots for cars.
Yeah.
And that's just not, I don't see it that way.
And they're definitely against sharing the road.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. You put a bike lane in and people get pissed about it.
I mean, my Facebook groups for my part of town, Clintonville, is insane. When you bring up, they did, and it's like a long running joke now. They called it a road diet. and they took a lane out and they put two bike lanes on the side, and people are just screaming constantly about every people get banned from that place when they as soon as they start a road diet thread, all of a sudden 400 comments show up and a bunch of people get kicked out.
Well, and I saw a story somebody posted recently about how jaywalking wasn't a thing until auto manufacturers started to lobby against jaywalking. Because the roads are theirs. That was kind of their, that was like they were lobbying, the auto industry was lobbying to basically the make the streets theirs.
Weird.
And
that like, doesn't make sense though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who else can, like all these, so.
Like in DC, they don't give a fuck. People just cross constantly. And it's really not that big of a deal. Like I just got used to it while I was there and I even did it myself. And I think people are pretty okay with it. It
right.
seemed.
Right. Well, and like, but I'm sure what happened.
Say, but it makes sense to say, like, if you want people to feel confident in buying a car, it's like, no, where you drive it, people will move.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, like, they were saying, you know, these cars are fucking dangerous. They're running all over everybody all the time in the street. And then the auto industry, their way of fixing it wasn't anything to do with cars. It was like, we got to handle these walkers, these walking ass people. And it's like, I don't think cities need to accommodate cars like that. I just, because there are a lot of people that live there that maybe don't have a car and that are riding bikes, and they have just as much right to be down there as the people in cars. The people that are walking in an urban area or riding the bus, I feel like they have more right. They're better than the people in cars. And really, if I'm building a hierarchy of good people, it's like cars is at the bottom. But in reality, in the world we live in, cars are at the top. Like everything seems to like need to be geared toward cars.
Well, but this is, I mean, this goes back to the beginning of what you were saying, though, is that like we really got to make sure we got to slow down productivity a lot. We can't have somebody, you know, burning up a few gallons of gasoline every single day going back and forth, you know, just to themselves, to a job, to go move numbers around. Like, yeah. This stuff is it can't happen. It's hard because everybody's just going to keep their head down and keep moving along with the way things are, of course. But, I mean, the real conversation that needs to be had is, like, how do we shut down a lot of this? Like, and we just have to just gut it.
Whose space is this? I think is another question. Like, what is this? Like, I see a lot of people in the Short North Arts District in Columbus that live there who are mad because there's no parking for them. And I just kind of feel like, well, I mean, you kind of live in the city. That's part of living in the city. There might not be any parking. You live somewhere where people want to be. I mean, how many
the buses come through there and you're at the center of everything. I mean, you can walk to the coolest shit.
Right. And how many parking garages do you want down there? How many parking structures do you want to be there? It's just, we're doing so much to accommodate cars when we should be actually trying to get people off of fucking cars. You know, we need to be working on figuring out a way to reduce the amount of cars on the road. That's what needs to be happening. But instead, we're spending all of our time trying to accommodate cars. And it's just so. And this one on December 4th. So an anonymous tipster. He doesn't have,
I'm going to get him a good bike this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get you a good bike.
Well, that's nice. I walk everywhere when it's warm.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't really drive at all. That's I don't true. Drive downtown. If I need to go downtown, I walk downtown. And my family does, too, when we go out to dinner. If we go out to dinner in the downtown area where, like, the restaurants are, we walk to those restaurants because there's nowhere to park. Why add the aggravation of trying to park somewhere when we all three have two legs and can walk a decent distance? We're all healthy people who can walk. You know, my daughter's 13. She's old enough to walk, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot to be said about, you know, spending 3 hours to walk there, eat and walk back versus spending, you know, 2 hours and you get there immediately and come right back to do what? Like, turn on more TV or sit on your phone or
scream. And part of that 2 hours is fucking screaming about there being nowhere to park.
Right, right. That's true.
Like, there's so much like
rubbing the wheel really fucking hard.
I say that with ComFest is a festival that we have every year. It's probably our biggest public festival every summer in Columbus. And, there's just, it's like a mile from my house. And it's a mile from a lot of my, like, people that live downtown. Not anymore, but it has been. And, like, or, like, I would let people park at my house and walk down there with me. You guys all have kids, so no. You can't really do it.
Yeah, we do Yay Bikes, man. They got the bicycle valet there. That's what we did this year.
Right. And so that is perfectly, that is the way you're supposed to deal with something like this. You don't start throwing a fit because there's nowhere to park. You need to be walking. You need to ride your bike. You need to take the bus. That's what all that stuff's for. I don't know how. We should have one car for every 5 people or 10 people. I'm sick and tired of fucking cars. So many cars. An anonymous tipster, apparently offended by bicycles, filed an online complaint with the city on December 13th stating these spiral racks are prohibited according to the City of Clearwater Code of Ordinances.
Okay.
These spiral racks. Let me explain something right now. That parking spot held one car. These spiral racks, 6 or 7 bikes. That's so much better. It's so much more efficient. It's Florida. It's never fucking snowing or cold or negative 15 degrees. Yes, it's very hot in Florida. I know, but it's very hot here sometimes too. And on those days, I still walk. I'm a walk. You can walk as much as it's ridiculous to be mad because they added 4 spots for bike or a spiral rack for a bunch of bikes over one spot for one fucking pig that needs to bring his big fucking internal combustion engine to drive like 3 miles to get a fucking cheeseburger or something like that. It's in front of a fucking bike shop. Shit. Don't drive your car to the fucking bike shop. Take the bus and ride your bike home.
What if it's broke? Yeah, you got to put it on the front.
Yeah. No. 10 people for one car. So for every one car that we make, for every 10 people, we will make one car. We're okay. Not going to make, I don't know what the ratio is now, so I might be wrong, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like more people are going to, we're going to have to start sharing more cars. That's communism. We're getting rid of some of these fucking cars. These cars are driving me crazy. I've been almost hit by cars 100 times. Those motherfuckers will sit in their car and yell at me. But they almost hit me. They'll sit in a car, get out of fucking road. It's like, it's my road too. Remember when I went through that whole phase where I was like, I'm going to be completely laid back about bikes on the street.
Uh-huh.
From now on, I feel that the bikes are allowed. They have just as much a right to be on the street that I do. I don't like that they're slow and that they get in my way, but it doesn't matter. I live in a community. I have to be everybody. There has to be space for everybody in the community. And if they choose to use the road that is also theirs on a bike, I can't get mad about it.
I mean, you lose.
I'm still good at that.
Three seconds.
Still don't do it.
How much do you lose? Maybe 10 seconds?
Yeah, you can get around them like really fast, dude. I see people honking at people riding to work on their bikes in the morning in all weather, too. We're talking like people. I see people riding their bikes in the morning when it's 10 degrees outside.
Oh, I used to love
and
that.
I'm like, we should be like hailing them as heroes. Like when they get to work, they should get like a free lunch for that or something. People should be like, ah, you know what? What you're doing is amazing. Like, like what you're doing is saving gas and it's just fitness and just, I'm really proud of what you're doing.
You're the biggest bike cheerleader around.
No, I'm not.
I have ridden in Dallas, Texas too. I mean, you just got to ride like real slow, like a chameleon would, or like a sloth would ride a bicycle. You just don't exert too much energy to pass out.
And I'm not being a pro bike person. Oh, I'm a pro sharing person. We're sharing the roads here. These roads are all of ours. So we need to make allowances for bikes. Motherfucking
dirt bikes.
If yes. Oh yeah, always. I've always been on mini the pro bikes. Dirt bike. Mini bike. All bikes. All cars, those go-karts.
What about those one wheel things that you like just lean on?
God, I love those things. Those not the Segway.
No.
I like that wheel between your feet.
Yeah, just the wheel between your feet.
I love that.
You just lean forward. You just like put your arms down by your side and fucking fly.
You look like a geek.
You're going like 12 miles per hour and like fucking like.
You look like a geek, but it's cool, man. But,
I mean,
it's longboard
better
people
than walking.
Longboard people.
Oh yeah, I boost board.
Yeah,
that I've been sold on. There's a new one called the Ripped Board, and it's like the smaller version. And I'm like, please let me make paint. If you would just give me a payment plan on that, I would get it.
Yeah, not a bike guy, man. I just want to share that. Like, I feel like we don't like. There are a lot of people who feel like cars are the only thing, are the only acceptable mode of transportation.
Yeah.
Like, even my wife gets a little angry about motorcycles and stuff. And I'm like, I mean, they're using less gas than we are.
Yeah.
Like, we just got to deal with motorcycles.
Yeah, they're
people
great.
Like
for,
to drive motorcycle.
On gas.
I hate them too. I hate them when they're on the road. I feel like I'm gonna kill them. Like. Whenever
just accidentally.
Yeah, that's what how I am with bike people too. I always feel bad about it, but I'm like, man, I gotta fucking be reasonable. I gotta sit in this car, and even if I'm stewing in my mind, I need to smile while I'm driving, because you know what, that's his road too, baby. He pays taxes on this road, and in my utopia, he'll be filling potholes just like me.
Sure.
And it's just, we need to share these things. This guy that reported it fucking infuriates me too. Whoever this guy is that reported a bike rack,
I like it because he came up with a scheme in his mind. He thought that the bike shop had put a bike rack out front. He's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll fuck up their day, you know? I'll block their shine.
An anonymous...
That's not legal.
Yeah, Inspector Sam Slayton.
Like, when I was a kid, we built a quarter pipe outside, and some goddamn neighbor called the fucking...
Code enforcement.
Code enforcement. And we literally had a goddamn government code enforcement guy drop a card off because we had a fucking quarter pipe out in our in the driveway.
Yeah. My dad built, this is one of the good memories from my parents, is when I was like six, my dad built us a clubhouse with old with a bunch of old wood, and he like put it all together, he nailed it together, and it was on a vacant lot that was just, there was a vacant lot, and he built it, and I'll never forget it. And this woman complained and called, and he had to go over and take it apart in front of all of us. I was like, you goon. What kind of a goon makes a guy take a clubhouse apart? It was like, we used to play with all these kids, and he built it, and I just... Like,
the thing about them is that this, once again, goes against why I don't want to pledge allegiance, is it's like, all right, code enforcement, come out and say, hey, dummy, how did you and nails and joint work and be like, you can't send kids up in this fucking thing, guy. You know, like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. Intimidating, gruff man or woman, whoever, that no building, you know, just somebody to come out and be like, you run a filthy job site.
You're the safety police now. You're over here like being like, I'm going to come over here and look in this and see if it's safe.
That makes sense.
Nah, I mean, I could, like, that's all I would do to it.
I'd be like, can I get another eyeball on this?
Call on yourself and have them come out
Like, what do you think? Like, is that straight? Is that line? Can you?
I mean, I think that on a treehouse. I think on a thing that's on the ground.
Especially it's like, your kid's going to be in it, man. Like, if I'm just throwing a jalopy together, like, it makes sense to me, but I also have a lot of my projects blow up in my face.
I mean, I'm like a dumb kid. I was a dumb kid anyway. I mean, I kind of deserved to have a clubhouse fall in on me.
Well, I would rather them build a clubhouse that fell on in themselves. I would applaud that type of behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm going to build a death trap for my kids, like, I would really if someone's going to call the cops on me and they're going to come all the way out there, I'd rather them say, like, I mean, go buy some extra brackets for those right there. And, you know, you need to straighten out this area right here because that shit looks unstable as fuck.
This quarter pipe story you told me just really bummed me out a little bit.
Like, oh, it was the best. We used to terrorize the whole neighborhood on that thing, man.
You didn't do that.
You could just go flying right across the street. We had it at the head of the driveway. You would jump down it. You would ride skateboard, rollerblades, fucking razor scooters, any bicycles, and you would just go flinging across the street. There was kind of a hump in the street a little bit where you could get maybe a little bit of air or something, or you could put a ramp out there. And, man, it was going down. It was skate park city in the suburbs.
That's cool. And my neighborhood has a skate park. That's how far we've come.
Like, I know. Every winter, so jelly.
Every winter, they set up a skate park where the pool is. And it's like, oh, that's beautiful, man. Like, back when I was a kid, like...
Skateboarding was a crime.
Your parents were like, no, you get out of here. Like, all the kids that skateboarded in my neighborhood just did it at a tennis court.
Yeah.
It sucked, and you couldn't have a ramp. Like, at least now they try to channel that stuff into a good place.
That's true.
You know?
I mean, instead of...
Can you imagine thinking skateboarding is a bad...
Hey, we had a technical difficulty. We were back. Just
fucking...
We cut from whatever something was being said. I guess we could have just blended this together effortlessly, and they wouldn't have known.
Who gives a shit? Really? I'm gonna... Actually, that's the next thing. We just... Last week, we recorded a show, and the night of Wrestle Kingdom, and we didn't get done until 2 a.m. because my computer needed to have updates that took 2 hours to happen. Now this fucking thing is trying to do updates again. Now, in the middle of my fucking show. It's like, what use is that? Why don't you, can't you discern? Can't the computer...
You know what my schedule is.
Yeah.
You track everything I do. You know, you read all my calendar notes. Everything is filtered through you. Get your fucking shit together.
Yeah, computer, fuck. God damn it.
So, we didn't even... I mean, you didn't do that story justice at all. You realize that, right?
I thought we did.
No. The story is... This fucking guy that owns a bicycle shop had the cops called on him... And they came out and wrote a ticket to him.
Yeah.
But the city built the bike rack.
Yes.
The city wrote a ticket because it violated code enforcement, and they fucking built it.
Uh-huh.
And those people make a lot of money. It's like the fucking office. It's like the office from TV in real life. They are in charge of code enforcement now.
Yeah. Michael fucking Scott is in charge.
What a fucking dipshit.
Yeah. It was
so stupid.
Like, how could they not?
For what? For one parking? What is the... Why don't you tell... Have the guts to tell somebody to fuck off.
Exactly. Like, motherfucker, it's one goddamn parking spot. Go
to hell.
Deal
with it.
Yeah, deal with it. Go get mad at it. Just stand by it and fucking fume at it. But it's one spot. You'll live. Take a bus. Ride a bike. These people, I think I'm like almost more furious at the guy that called, really. Like, I just, like, even just snitching and calling code enforcement on somebody seems like a really terrible thing to do. But he's mad about the bike shop, you know? Yeah, they ticketed him. I guess they got out of it, you know? They
sure,
don't have to pay
their
ticket.
Sure, I mean, they're not responsible, I would hope.
But, man, they got to go back through. And they had to go through that, though. You know what I mean? They had to, like...
Deal with the bullshit.
Yeah, they had to be like, well, you guys built the thing. And then somebody probably was like, no, we didn't build the thing. And then, okay, let me talk to your manager. And then the manager got on the phone, and they were like, you built the thing? And they're like, oh, shit, we built the thing. Never mind, don't worry about that ticket. And it's like, man, that you just put somebody... Like, this government can damn come in your life and stick you in a bunch of bureaucracy. It's miserable. It's fucking stupid. That's the bike rack story. Fuck them. So, yeah, I'm pretty, like, frustrated with, like, they could have, I'm pretty frustrated with the streets now. I want to share the roads. I'm pro bike.
I'm glad you came out.
Brett.
I mean, and that's a brave thing to do during the winter, because right now, people on the roads are like, ha, 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 no one's riding their bikes. I get the roads to myself. It's like, you don't get the roads to yourself. You need to take care of the brave citizens that are taking it on two wheels to
the
get
troops.
To work.
They're like the troops a little bit.
Yes.
Because they're like sacrificing.
They're doing the right thing. They're doing the rightest thing. It's the only, it's really the only acceptable way to travel at like that rate of speed. Because all the other ones like kind of suck for the rest of us.
You're right. You're right. And the troops, they say the troops sacrifice for us, and they the bike people sacrifice for us too. They're not using gas.
Yeah.
They're sacrificing their, I mean, they could use just as much gas as we do.
You know, people have been waiting for so long for us to come out and do this and champion their cause.
The bike people?
Yeah.
I got to believe there's not very many bike people audience. More car people, I think.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
In the Milwaukee, Wisconsin show, that one chick said, asked the question, is the bicycle the most anarchist form of transportation?
That's true. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad I made you guys happy. I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I think that's like where I'm like, oh.
That's radical as shit, man. Like Microcosm Publishing, the people that we get our extra zines through, they have all kinds of bike zines, and they sold out in the store when I put them in there immediately.
Right, and if you can't, I think something that I would say is if you can't ride a bike because of something physical or something like that, that's what cars are for.
Sure.
That will get you around in a car. I'm not trying to shame people that can't physically ride a bike or anything like that. I'm saying a lot of us could physically ride a bike and we don't do it.
Well, and that just the hatred and all of that has just got to be put to an end. Like, it's stupid. The people, the irate, you know, I'm going to speak on it. I hate sharing the roads. I just can't stand sharing the roads.
I know. You need to get used to it. If you're out there and you're mad about bikes and you're listening to this show right now, it took me a while. It was while I was driving for Lyft where I decided to make some changes in my life. You know what I mean? And just in my mindset changes. Like the gorilla mindset, how, what's his name? Mike Cernovich has that. I have like a new mindset that's like the sharing mindset. And I just sat down and I said, you need to, every time you start to get mad about this, you need to step back and think about who owns everything. And you're trying to get rid of this ownership thing. You know, that's your whole life is property is theft. And you need to sit back and think about that in your heart. And then that. Over and over again, I did that over and over, like where I had to remind myself, like, don't get furious at this guy trying to pedal uphill while you're trying to get your wife to work in a 45 mile an hour road. Don't get fired up about it. Don't start yelling. Don't say, come on, get out of the goddamn way. You just got to be like, oh, hey, we're going to work. Like, be happy. Like, choose to not get mad at that person.
Sure.
That's the sharing mindset.
Take some extra time to get another song in.
Yeah. Let's knock one more story out here since we had the technical difficulties. It feels like we don't want to waste our time coming back and just like wrapping it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Hamilton County, this is out of Hamilton County, Tennessee. A simple cigarette can put a recovering drug addict back in jail. Hamilton County Drug Court judge says he's working towards a nicotine-free program because it gives his participants a better chance at life. Paula Brazell was hooked on pain pills for years. Opiates were my drug of choice, Brazell said. It took her several attempts to get clean. However, she says smoking cigarettes is what finally got her through. I think so, yeah. Calm me down, she said. But now her friends going through Hamilton County Drug Court can't come close to cigarettes. We routinely test for nicotine as we do for other controlled substance, Judge Tom Greenholt said. According to a study by Columbia University, 11% of those who continued smoking in recovery relapsed on illicit drugs. Only 8% of those who quit relapse. Last week, Judge Greenholt sent a handful of smokers to spend a night in jail after their drug test came back positive for nicotine. It shows how serious we are about combating this, he said.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It's yet again, it's like
it just fulfills your little power fantasy,
right?
It just makes it so that you get to punish people. It does nothing to help people out. You aren't meeting people where they're at all. I mean, cigarettes don't change people's behavior the way that like fucking heroin does or methamphetamines do. You know, if you know, to take the edge off, you got to suck on some cigarettes. I mean, right now, that's fine. We can work on it in the long term. You know, we can be there with some patches and gum when you round the curve of not wiling out on fucking hard drugs.
When you're ready to quit smoking. I don't think it's the I don't think it's the court's business.
It's not.
To be stopping people from smoking cigarettes. Like, cigarettes are legal and you can't. I mean, imagine he's sending people to jail for doing something that's legal.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you get lung cancer from cigarettes is if you got the genetics. It doesn't have nothing to do with smoking. It's all genes.
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
All DNA.
Okay. I mean, my grandma did live to an age that I would be fine with smoking Camel non-filters all of her life.
Can't complain.
So, man, what a really, like, that
fucked
is
up, man. That's wild. And it's like, you know, you don't help anybody with that shit. You know, it's like the parenting stuff we did earlier this week. You could banish your kid to their room for a whole month, but you could also just have a really fucking difficult situation with them and kind of impact their life in a meaningful way.
Yeah. And have a conversation. That's always been my philosophy is, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to ground you, but you have to sit and have a talk with me. You have to sit and have an uncomfortable talk with me.
And I don't want to be paternalistic about it with these types of things, but, you know, I also do know in my real life people that were the children of drug addicts, and they say that they wish that someone would have came and just rescued them at any moment. They just wished that, I mean, during the whole time, they just thought that, you know, they could be taken away to somewhere else. And I do feel like there is some sort of a need to help people because, you know, we certainly, regular folks aren't ready to deal with these things. And we have these issues and occurrences that I think, you know, you got somebody that did something that you call illegal, which probably ain't, but it's causing a nuisance. And it's the same thing with the code enforcement. It goes back to the code enforcement, where instead of having someone come in and be like, you're raising a ruckus, people are calling on you, people are reporting on you, someone wants to take you to court, whatever it may be, like, you're causing a bunch of fucking problems. Can you get your shit together? Can I help you get your shit? Can I please? What do you need to get your shit together so that you're not causing a bunch of fucking problems for these people and they're up my ass, you know?
Right.
I would rather see people spending their time, like, solving problems instead of punishing people, you know, for having problems.
Right. Help facilitate getting your shit together, and that doesn't include jail.
No,
that's not one of the things we're going to use to help you get your shit together. We're not going to throw you in jail. And it's, we talk all the time about harm reduction, and cigarettes are harm reduction. You know, a person that smokes cigarettes can be home with their family and raise their kids, according to you. I mean, I think somebody can do that almost in any occasion, depending on the type of person they are and the type of society we have set up. But I think that, like, if all this person is doing, I say this about weed too, if all this person is doing is smoking weed or smoking cigarettes, that's not a problem anymore. They're fine. They got past it. And we just need to be happy that we're helping that some, I mean, like I said, there wouldn't be a drug court in my world, but if there's got to be this weird drug court thing, it can't just, like, I guess the words carrot and stick, right? Like,
yeah.
It can't just be all stick. And that's the only thing the government knows how to use is stick. The only thing judges know how to use is the stick. All they can do is hit you. That's the way that they think that they can solve stuff. He's not helping anybody.
No.
Like, he's doing doesn't help. It actually hurts the people.
It's a stumbling block.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody that's, like, going to miss work and maybe get fired. It's you know, it's just creating, I mean, and this is what they do, though. I mean, this is what a big part of what makes the world work is that this underclass of folks that they can keep churning through the criminal justice system, and these nitpicky little laws are great ways to keep people in there to justify their jobs. And shit.
This is one of those things. I'll end this show with a little anecdote, I guess. My daughter went to art class today. And they were doing, like, free draw sort of thing. So they'll give them a prompt, and then they get to choose one of the two things to draw. And he said you can draw your peaceful place or an unpeaceful place. He gave some different word descriptions for what a peaceful place would be and some different for an unpeaceful place. And one of the things under unpeaceful was anarchy. And she went to him and was like, anarchy isn't not peaceful. It means something completely different.
Wow.
And in the end, he told her, I probably shouldn't have used that word.
Wow. Anarchy awareness happening in public schools? Are you flipping kidding me?
And I kind of got to thinking about it, and I was like, it's funny because you're thinking about unpeaceful. I mean, I would use the word violence instead of not peaceful, you know? And like, I don't know that I see anarchy as an inherently violent thing, but I do see hierarchy as an inherently violent thing.
No, that's baked in.
Like, they handed this guy power, and this is what he's using that power for, to throw people who are already down on their luck, who are already in recovery, to throw them in jail for some small thing like cigarettes, for smoking cigarettes, you know? I don't want people... Listen, I wish everybody could quit smoking cigarettes or have a healthy relationship with cigarettes. You know what I mean? I wish that could happen, but it's not going to fucking happen. So we need to accept the fact that people are going to smoke cigarettes until the day we die. People are going to fucking smoke cigarettes. People are going to smoke weed. People are going to take opiates. People are going to use a substance. You know, people use things to get through life. Not everybody can use jogging to get through fucking life. Not everybody can go hunting to get their pop. Some people can't do those things, you know, and they choose to do drugs. And we can't just we've arbitrarily decided that they're a bad thing. And it's not, that's not the case. It's just another thing, you know. It's just another way that people use to get through life. Like, fucking people overeat. People eat trans fats because it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
People lift weights because it makes them
shop.
Feel good. People shop because it makes them feel good. And for some people, that thing that makes them feel good is drugs. And we just need to accept that. And these judges, this hierarchy, that's violence. What he's doing is violence. And generally, what judges do is violence, in my opinion.
Well, because, I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is like, you're taking this point of view where you're like, all right, I get to judge you now. I'm looking down, I'm decreeing what your punishment is going to be, versus like being maybe handed a situation where you don't judge the person, but you kind of got to help them with their problem, you know, in like a meaningful way, in something that really solves it for them, you know, not just trying to kick it out of them.
And they're not trying to solve it. They're it's not solving. I don't think this guy really in his heart of hearts is trying to get opiate users clean. You know, I think this guy is faced with different people every day that have the same problem. And just like when I worked for the cable company and I hated the cable boxes because I thought they were all broken. You know what I mean? I hated those fucking cable boxes, and I would just, these fucking cable boxes are pieces of shit. You know, when most of them work every day, right? And like, this guy's just seeing people that all have the same issue come through during an epidemic, and he's decided that they're a problem that he has to solve. And the only way that he can figure out how to solve it is to send them to jail for small infractions and things like that. And it's bullshit. Drug courts are fucking bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it. That's it.
That's the show. Street Fight Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you want more of what we do, you can get that by paying for the bonus show. It's only $1 a month. That's right, $1 a month for bonus posts and shows from Street Fight Radio over on Patreon. It's a place where you can support the people that you like us. patreon.com/streetfightradio. For $3 a month, you get a digital copy of our zine, exclusive writing, exclusive artwork. Really fun shit happens every single month right there on our Patreon page. You get the link and you can enjoy it. We have a lot of good special guests, surprise people, even folks that aren't online at all, no ads at all. So please consider supporting Street Fight at that $3 level. It makes it so that we can travel around and do shows and keep, you know, getting bigger and better and spreading this around so that eventually it's just this juggernaut that knocks everything else off the table. We're trying to reset the table here, clear it all off, and start with something that's more egalitarian, that makes sense in a non-hierarchical aspect. So if you're down with that, please fuck with us from week to week. We're coming to your town. We got, like I said, Asheville, New Orleans, Iowa, New York City, Chicago, LA. It's happening this year, so get excited. We're going to keep this thing rolling. We're Street Fight. Peace.
Oh, you're racist. Jeez, that's neat. Get the fuck up out my face if that shit is beat. Your thoughts are ugly, they're not wanted, and they're dumb. See, it's MCID and we try to spread love, but man, you make me wanna take off the gloves, because guns don't kill people. White people kill black people with guns. Is it hard to hear?
White on his whitest day, so I guess you've just been backwards since the jump anyway. We're